Good morning. Welcome to the December 4th San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors meeting. Please rise and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you read the changes to the agenda, please?
Addendum to item number 13, USDA Grant Agreement, CSA 23. Staff is requesting Schedule A be attached to the USDA Grant Agreement, District 5. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement.
Very good. Thank you. Supervisor Hill.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to request that we move hearing item number 18 up first thing right now with my intention to move towards a continuance off calendar, if you would be willing to do that.
Okay. Actually, we have a number of people who are here to speak on general public comment on items not on the agenda, as well as the ag cluster ordinance. And my concern in doing that is that it would prolong the stay of folks that are just here to speak on general public comment. So I'm not in favor of doing that. The ag cluster item is the only hearing item on the agenda today. And I think there are a number of people here that want to speak to that, and I think that it would take quite some time. So I'm not in favor of doing that. However, our rules of procedure allow us to reorder the agenda if there are three members on the board. And then, let's see, we've got to get our planning staff in here. Well, we don't have Mr. Caruso. Is he coming, Mr. Giffen?
Right there.
Is he? Where is he?
He's in the center aisle.
Here he comes.
He looks exactly like James Caruso.
And more so, actually.
Item number 18, a continued hearing from November 13, 2012, to consider a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to amend agricultural element policies 20, 22, and 23, amend the San Luis Obispo area plan, and amend Title 22, the land use ordinance, and Title 23, the coastal zone land use ordinance of the county code regarding agricultural cluster land divisions, all districts.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Giffen.
Good morning, Chairman Patterson, members of the board. Jason Giffen, your planning and building director. This item is a continued item from a previous board hearing on the agricultural cluster subdivision program proposed revisions. We gave an in-depth staff presentation at your previous hearing. Since then, we have posted outreach information on the county's webpage, as well as we've given some additional information related to frequently asked questions. That pretty much concludes the brief staff presentation. We have a very brief board letter that was submitted to your board, and as we know, we started public comment at the last hearing, and we were in the middle of that before the item was continued till today.
Okay.
And James Caruso, our project manager, is here in the event you have any specific questions.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Mr. Giffen. Supervisor Hill, you want to lead off the discussion on continuing this item?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. My main reason with the proposal before us is, while I understand that there are some issues that we can certainly address and improve on the ag cluster, probably the most controversial item, whether you support it or oppose it, is the density bonus. Because of the EIR and the proposal before us, it does not allow us pretty much any room to be able to compromise, which is one of the ways we get things done here in democracy, here at the board, to look at that issue. It's pretty much all or nothing. It's keep it as is or go to zero. That's problematic for me. I have some other issues that are also problematic, and I think that we would be well served by continuing it off calendar with some specific staff direction on some things that, you know, that, and then certainly I'd like to hear from my colleagues as well. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I've met with a fair number of people I've gone to. In my district, I would say I have more of the ag clusters than anywhere, both major and minor ag clusters, and I've gone out to the actual ag clusters. I've spent time with people, both residents and planners and so forth, and I still have some concerns and questions that keep me from wanting to make a decision that I'm not thoroughly convinced I need to make today. I think that we could ask staff to meet with some of the planning representatives who've worked on ag cluster projects. I think that that's you know, that's something that would be helpful, and I have talked to some of them myself, and they have some they've been sincere about wanting to make some changes and seeing that there need to be some changes. Certainly some of the owners, I guess, who've worked on the projects, and then some of the other obvious interest groups from well, even our own commission like ALAB, Farm Bureau. I know, you know, the EVC maybe clusters might have something to do, but I think that there's an opportunity to get more input. We seem to be getting a lot of people who are concerned about whether their input has been sufficiently addressed. As for the issues, I said I'd really like to see this come back, and I know that this is necessitating going all the way through the process again, which will be a long time before we see it back, and the next board can decide how to prioritize this. I would hope that we would prioritize it again, but obviously we need to have some flexibility on the density bonus, and that I know we'll probably require either a supplemental EIR or starting over. Obviously, the other issues that we've seen some input on are the distance between ag clusters from URLs. Our Planning Commission said somewhere between 3 and the current 5. They also told, you know, when I spoke to two planning commissioners, they said that they wished they had the opportunity to make some general recommendations on the density bonus, but they couldn't. I've talked with some others about the possibility of having an authorization requirement on ag clusters similar to the GPA process so that we have an early sense of whether something is truly a suitable ag cluster project and should go forward into the process or not. Even the actual issues have you know, led to a kind of polarization that I don't think is useful for good decision-making. I'm not entirely confident that what we would have to vote on today is the best course of action, and I think that that's important. And I also think that, you know, when we look at it, and I know a lot of people are concerned, we've heard from a lot of you, this board is ending in a few weeks in terms of our formal hearings. I think that I myself would like to see us move into the next year and the next board with a new supervisor with a calmer and collegial tone rather than a polarized and divisive tone. I think it's fair to I think it's the most fair we can be to our new colleague who will join us, Ms. Arnold. You know, before I joined this board 4 years ago, there was a process that was about an ag cluster, the Santa Margarita Ranch, which I think was a incredibly contentious and ultimately regrettable spectacle, and led to a perception among many that it had been forced through and jammed through. Whether you agree with that or not, it continues to be the perception. I don't want to be part of a perception that I don't think that's what's happening here. This is something that's been in the works for 3 years. It just happens to come to us late in this term. But I don't want to see a perception that there is a majority of a board that wants to force through something that is perhaps not entirely ready. I mean, I see the concerns on both sides, and I understand that no planning tool is perfect. They have trade-offs, and the trade-offs of this tool, depending on how we're able to revise it, is allowing a certain amount of development on a certain part of land in order to gain a lot of conservation. And that is something that I think we need a little bit more discussion on and a little bit more thoughtful discussion on. So I'm hoping, I know that my colleagues want to add anything just to staff, and I know we'll take from public comment, but I'm hoping that people will be calmer and perhaps find themselves back into the holiday spirit and such as we move on to a more thoughtful response. So that's what I have to say at this point right now, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Hill. Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I wholeheartedly support my colleague in the Third District's comments. I was going to make some of the very same comments. I believe that this has raised more questions than answers, and so I think that by taking a little bit of extra time to allow for the folks that are directly affected by our decision here today to have a chance to weigh in. The reason I talked briefly about the notification issue the last time, it's come to my attention that I believe that the Tribune no longer delivers in the rural areas. So the people that are most affected by that would not get that notice through that type of a media. I think, and one of the things that we're going to hopefully work better toward is trying to find a better way to communicate with the public about things that we're doing. Everybody talks about transparency in government. We need to be better about that. So what we need to figure out is how do you get your information? But remember, it's a two-way street. We provide it, you must want to have it. So I think that we can do a better job of that from a notification standpoint. I too, have issues with the bonus density issue. It's not a bonus density. It's a lot density, if you will. This is more of from a planning standpoint. The water concerns are also a major issue. I'm not convinced that what's being suggested is the right way to go about this from a water conservation standpoint. And without question, the economic study is not a good one. I mean, there was one sentence in that economic study that pretty much told me all I needed to know when it said that agriculture played a minor role in San Luis Obispo County. Agriculture is the major industry in our county. And so that tells me one of two things. Either one, the person that did the analysis was not familiar with this county, or number two, did do enough investigation into the economy of our county. I know Mr. Giffen inherited this whole thing, and he's tried to make the best out of it that he can, but I too would wholeheartedly support a continuance into off calendar and allow for those that are willing to step up and try to work with this to make it better. Is there something wrong with it? Maybe so. I don't know that we can't make it better. So if we can, I'm willing to try. So I appreciate my colleagues' comments.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Meacham. Supervisor Gibson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, when the distinguished gentlemen of Districts 1 and 3 agree on something, I know I've got to sit up and take attention. I'm not sure I've had quite enough coffee this morning to process what I've heard. But talk about ways in which this ordinance should be improved. But I want to get a sense from members of the board that they understand that it does need to be improved, because it's my opinion, and I think that was shared certainly by most of the board who directed the changes be made, that this ordinance as constituted was doing too much to encourage rural residential development relative to the amount of ag preservation it was actually doing. And that's really the crux of it to me. In the interim between authorizing changes and getting to today, we have put in place what I think is fundamentally important policies that will guide our growth at a very high level in this county. We call it strategic growth, some call it smart growth, but it's the only sensible way in which we move forward so that we have a robust economy, so that we can provide government services. So under that larger framework, all our land use policies have to operate. And I do understand that there are instances in which this can be a tool that will preserve agriculture. We have a great counterexample. It happens to be in the 2nd District, Highland Ranch Conservation Project, which debated ag clustering as a conservation tool and ended up with a pretty straight conservation solution that I think is better for agriculture and involves reducing the amount of development that was potential on that property. So I have concerns about subdividing ag land to preserve it. That poses some significant negatives in my mind. I also know that there are instances in which a very well-developed subdivision process can provide the economic benefit that lead to significant ag land preservation. And from my standpoint, especially as a grower, I'm concentrating on the ag land. So I'm willing to engage a discussion of how this particular form of subdividing might be changed, but I'd like to get the sense from colleagues that change is needed and we're going to work in good faith toward change. Those are my concerns at this point.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Supervisor Gibson. And I concur that if we do continue this item, I'll have Mr. Giffen speak to what planning staff needs to move forward. And one of those things, as you alluded to, Bruce, is very specific details is what we want planning to do. And I'll just say that that's what we did originally. We directed staff to take a look at the ag cluster ordinance because it was not achieving the goals that it was intended in 1984 when it was originally adopted. And we gave staff specific instructions, and I'll speak more to that later, but we do need to provide planning with some direction should we continue it off calendar. Supervisor Hill, you wanted to speak again?
Follow up, Mr. Teixeira.
Okay.
That would be
Supervisor Teixeira, please.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson and Supervisor Hill. I agree with my colleagues from Districts 1 and 3. I think that we do need some more work on this. And the density bonus, the water, and the lot size are the major concerns that I have. But I think the real key thing that we as a board have realized is the fact that the democratic process works. People are here today to voice their opinion. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, election, you know, it went the way some people wanted, some people weren't happy with it. But I think that's a great part about this country is we come together as a people and figure out what we want to do and tell our elected officials what we want to do and do it freely. So I'd like to thank the public for being here today. I'd like to thank you for all your emails and your concerns about this. And I think the real important thing and something that I saw was a lack when I was on the Parks Commission is public involvement. We used to really be happy when we got public comment and we had public in our meetings at the Parks Commission. And to have a turnout like this today, I think, is great, whether you're for it or against it. That's your prerogative. But I think to have public here, have public involved, and to show that they're concerned on an issue like this is very key in our county. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Teixeira. Adam, back to you.
Well, I just wanted to follow up before you, Mr. Chairman, and I guess we can hear from the public. This is not going to win me friends anywhere. This is what we call back east hard-boiled pragmatism. You know, I'm quite willing to accept that I might be a little bit wrong and a little bit right on this, which is, I think, a reason to want to continue to look at it and discuss it rather than to make a decision and have. But it also works both ways. If you want us to represent you as best as we can, we need a measure of respectful dialogue and a sense that you're not coming at us from a state of complete dislike, complete distrust, complete this guy's bad, and that's why we need to tell him these things about our various philosophies. So if there's an opportunity for people to see that we're trying to represent those who are concerned as best as we can, and also to see if we can make this a better proposal and come back to it, then it's ultimately a compromise that we've crafted to try to lower the temperature and come at this with a little bit more thought, a little bit more involvement, with better analysis, a little bit more input from the people who've been involved. And I think that's really the best way to craft public policy, and I hope that people will see that. But I will certainly be glad to receive many emails and such afterwards, but that's where I'm at.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Hill. My concern is the reordering of the agenda this morning. We have lots of people here that wanted to speak in general public comment. We have a presentation. People came for that. They have to wait through this item, which we had scheduled to start later in the morning. That's what I find unfortunate. I think we do need to have a robust discussion, give staff specific direction on how we want them to proceed. And that's going to take some time. I've got 21 requests to speak forms from the November meeting. I'm going to call those first because we did agree that if those folks came back today, they would have an opportunity to speak. I have 25 that were turned in this morning. Some of those are probably duplicates, but we want to give you all an opportunity to speak. I'll ask staff before we go to general public, well, not general public comment, but public comment on this item, to highlight the issues that were raised at our November meeting, so you'll know we have those on record. Also, if you agree that we should just continue this item off calendar, which I'll ask Mr. Giffen to explain the implications of doing that as well, so you'll have a good idea of what we're talking about. And if you're satisfied with having a conversation later based on Mr. Giffen's description of the process that we will go through to reevaluate this, you know, you can simply speak to that as well. In other words, we don't need to spend 3 hours necessarily going through all the issues that we went through in November. What I think I'll do then, before I open it to public comment on this item, and again, I apologize to all of you who were here based on the advertised agenda. You may have to wait a while to get to that point, but this is the way the majority of the board wants to conduct the meeting this morning. So, Mr. Giffen, if you would just quickly or rely on your staff, Mr. Caruso, or Mr. Singelwald, to just highlight the issues that we already have on record, and then if you would speak briefly to the process that would likely occur if we continue it off calendar and planning goes through the process again. So, Mr. Giffen, I'll turn it over to you.
Certainly, Chairman Patterson, members of the board, I think I can capture all of the items that were both discussed today and at the previous hearing. What we're going through this morning reminds me of what a colleague once said to me, which is planning sometimes is a voyage of discovery, and that's obvious what we're going through this morning. So to recap the issues, as we know, the density bonus and some flexibility on that, the distance from where agricultural clusters can take place from an urban reserve line, the economic analysis and the adequacy of that economic analysis and how it should be used in the context of bringing forward proposed changes to the ordinance, the issue of water. There was an issue related to noticing and what type of distribution should be appropriate, whether it should be a display ad, mailed notices, advertisements, and outreach through the county website. Other topics include discussion on the applicability of property rights, lot size, increased public involvement, how it would affect antiquated subdivisions. That was talked about quite a bit from the public at the last meeting. What should we do about environmental impact report? Given the breadth and depth of the topics that have been brought up during public testimony, What I would suggest we do is, well, one, we'd have to regroup as a planning staff and identify how these issues should move forward. I would also request that the board consider some type of reauthorization to identify what issues should be evaluated and then include that as a part of one of our priority reports. We'll be coming back to the board in February, so we could take the discussion items that were brought up today and any additional items that come up at public comment, and we could give you a preliminary presentation on what we think the scope of a revised ordinance or ag cluster subdivision program would look like, probably come February. Then I would suggest after that we engage with the public, start working on a draft ordinance, and then come back later once the ordinance is ready, perhaps in the fall strategic planning session, to identify whether or not it's an item that how the board would like to proceed. So loosely structured, we have an opportunity in February as well as in October to come back and check in with the board to see how you would like this particular item to proceed in conjunction with our other priorities. So they're the two venues open, I would suggest. And now the question would be, well, would you like information presented at both those meetings or just one of those meetings?
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Giffen. And Supervisor Meacham, did you want to?
Mr. Chairman, if I can help expedite the time in which you're talking about. A lot of folks are here. I'd like to ask for a straw vote for the continuance. That way folks know where we're going with this whole thing, and that way it doesn't have to take up a lot of their time if they know that we're going to continue this item. I know that it's still a noticed hearing. Folks still have an opportunity to speak if they wish, but I think it would save a lot of time if folks knew that we were actually, the board was going to go in that direction. So I'm going to ask.
And I appreciate that. I think there's really, based on the conversation this morning, that we will continue the item. And, there were some issues raised. And so straw vote, I think we to continue it. You want to have a conversation as to supervisor. Maybe that'll happen someday, Mr. Giffen. Planning Director Giffen, his suggestions that we would have an opportunity in February. Typically, we have a board strategic planning session in February. We have two or three during the year. That's when it would first come back for additional discussion on how we might proceed, or we could come back later in the year, in the summer or fall, again, during strategic planning to see how it lines up with our other planning priorities. So you want to speak to that, Supervisor Meacham,
and then Supervisor
Gibson.
Kind of in addition to that, I know that we received a letter from the folks from ALAB, or Agricultural Liaison Board, that they really hadn't been able to chance to vet this, the final draft of this. So I think they're key to a lot of our discussion as well from the agricultural industry. And I want to just address one quick thing about from an agricultural standpoint. I mean, I understand the necessity to try to preserve agriculture, and I think it's one of our most important economies. But we need to find better ways to incentivize that so that they can stay in business. And I think maybe revising this tool, maybe revising this can help them do that. And that's what I'm hoping to be able to accomplish, not taking away something, mm-hmm. but trying to incentivize them the proper way. So
okay, yeah, and that's fine. That's why this ordinance was originally crafted, and that was the intent. Unfortunately, it's become more of a development tool than an ag land preservation tool, and that's why we're addressing the issues. And when I sum up my comments, I will speak specifically to what our Ag Liaison Advisory Board recommended, and a lot of if not all of the issues that have been addressed through this process are recommendations from what we call ALAB, our Ag Liaison Advisory Board. So they had extensive discussion on this, and they are a broad representation of the agricultural community. And so I want to make sure that you are aware of the issues that our ag community feels need to be addressed with this particular ordinance. And Supervisor Teixeira, I see that you want to have another comment, and I would like to move this along. Excuse me one second, Paul, if you will, please. For those of you on staff who came to speak to consent items or be here in the event we had questions about consent, we'll take a break when we finish this item, we'll have our presentation again. Mr. Zilke, I apologize for the delay here in making that presentation. And that'll give staff time to go away and then come back. You don't have to sit here during our discussion. So I wanted to let you all know that we'll take a break before we go into...
You know, while I guess I'm a little disappointed that a lot of staff work has sort of come to a point where we need to drop back, that happens sometimes. And I, speaking to Mr. Hill's sense of collegiality about it and about the possibility to move forward in a thoughtful way, and based on the good faith intentions that I hear from my colleagues, I can support the continuance that appears to be the interest of the majority of the board.
Yeah.
And I think I certainly will come to that discussion with my own good faith sense of what I think is in the best interest of this county and its rural lands, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Absolutely, and thank you, Supervisor Gibson. And I think what a lot of people we've heard from over the course of the board's dialogue about this issue, a lot of people were really caught off guard, if you will. They weren't aware of the process. This process has been going on for 2.5 to 3 years, and I will speak to the noticing and opportunities for public engagement along the way, because there have been many, and apparently a lot of you aren't aware of those, and so we need to talk about the process a little bit and how we move all of these issues through the governmental process. And it starts at the community level, and I'll just quickly run through about a half a dozen ways and a half a dozen or more opportunities to engage in the dialogue about any of these general plan amendments and the ordinances that we go through. And I want to make sure that we're clear on that. And again, I want to speak to what got us here and why we're here. I think that's important to have clarity on that. Mr. Buckshot.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to offer a couple of clarification points regarding process and where we go from here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think your board has provided, been fairly clear on the points that you have concerns about and would like to see addressed, and obviously if there's anything more from the public or any other additional points, but I think staff has ample direction for now on what the key issues are. With respect to February, what we have planned is a strategic planning session where what is targeted is to revisit planning's priorities. We were going to be doing that anyway. And then secondly, we have an overall budget update. And part of the reason we revisit planning's priorities is mm-hmm. so that we know how to help craft the budget for the proposed budget. I do want to clarify, the intention would be that would not be a noticed hearing. It would essentially be a study session. So I mm-hmm. think we can take the information from today, do some homework, come back with some options and discussion points, and receive further input from your board and the public to then craft a more detailed plan at that point.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what Mr. Giffen was implying, is that our board, again, with public input, would be crafting the priorities for planning and where this issue falls among the long list of other tasks that the planning department is working on. So that's the conversation we'll have in February. Thank you, Mr. Buckshot, for that clarification. So now what I'm going to do is move into public comment on this item. And it's clear in our straw vote that the intention of this board is to continue it and have further dialogue and public outreach on the issues that Mr. Giffen has identified. So I will start by calling the names of the folks that were here at the November hearing and were not, they deferred their opportunity to speak in public comment to today. And I want to call them up first. And you can speak to supporting the continuance or not, or to specific issues that may not have been raised, or support issues that you agree with that you want us to follow up on. So let me start again with the folks that were here in November. Please come forward when I call your name. And what I think I'll... The folks that were here in November were in the three-minute category. And so I'm going to allow you to speak 3 minutes because that's what you thought you were agreeing to when you postponed your comments to today. And again, I have 20 folks on this list and now about 30 on the list of folks presenting requests to speak forums today. I'm going to, after we get through the three-minute list, I'm going to go to a 1-2-3 opportunity so you can speak faster if you need to, we'll handle it that way. Let me start with Susie Anderson. Are you here, Susie?
And I think we need to preserve those property rights.
Thank you. Okay, one moment, Ms. Tanner. Is Carl Boker here? Kathy Holland, are you here? Please let me know if you are. I'm sorry if you wait. We want to get the next person in the queue here. Bill Pelphrey, I think I saw you come in, Bill. You're after Ms. Tandler. Ms. Tandler, please proceed.
Sandy Tandler, Morro Bay. I want to say I support the continuance.
Thank you. That's the kind of testimony we want. Let's see. We've got Bill Pelphrey somewhere. I've lost it already, Bill. Oh, I put it in the wrong pile. Bill, let me find your next person. Josh Friedman, I believe I saw you come in. You're on deck.
You tell me when?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
I'm Bill Pelphrey from Templeton. As you know, I've always contested this because I look at it as a violation of constitutional rights. I take it as a taking. I'm reminded of something, and I have the quote here from James Madison. This is, protecting property rights is the reason for government. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort as well as that which lies in the various rights of individuals. This being the end of government, that alone is just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. That which is not a just government, nor is property secure, it's one where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to a part of its citizens the free use of their property. Now, I've heard it said on here that there's nothing in the Constitution about property rights. Well, in Amendment 14 and in Amendment 5, they both state specifically what you can and cannot do with property rights. And one of them is you cannot take property or the use thereof without just compensation. One of your alternatives was to pay people for the property rights, but you said that was unaffordable to the county. However, in a quip on the 13th, I believe it was, as Mr. Hill said, financial hardship is not an excuse. Why should that be for a private person and not the government to take their property rights? The other thing on here was there was something that has not been mentioned yet, and that is mitigation for migratory corridors and the fencing plans through it. I look at that as a taking of property as well. If you put a corridor through a property just because a deer happens to walk through it or a fox walks to it, what does that do to the farmer, to the rancher, to the vineyard? In fact, I was at a meeting with some vineyard folks not too long ago, and somebody said a fox came in their vineyard, and an environmentalist person jumped up and said, you should close down your vineyard. Now, what good does that do for anybody? Don't make it so contentious. I do appreciate what you're doing, but your outreach needs to be a little different. Perhaps you should do the robocalls that all the politicians do at election time, or get the emails from people and send it out so that they have notice, because we never hear when something is coming up or when it is down or coming down. And as an advisory group member, Mr. Patterson, I am one of yours, so we actually have three groups because ours is split. We have found the only way we can do it is with emails. Now, surely you've got the phone calls for everybody. You can get the emails and then just email out your agenda and what's going on in the county. We don't know it about it at the advisory groups, but once a month. You meet four times a month. There's no way we can keep up with that. So try to find a way to email it.
Thank you, Mr. Pelfrey. Josh Friedman, hold on a moment, Josh, if you would. Ray Allen, are you here, Ray? Oops. That goes that way. Andrea Seastrand, I believe I saw you come in. Andrea, you're following Mr. Friedman. Mr. Friedman.
Josh Friedman, San Luis Obispo. Capitalism is the system in which if you want something, you offer something else up in exchange of adequate value. There's a willing buyer and there's a willing seller. Collectivism is the system in which if you want something, you just take it. You pass a law or you get someone else to pass a law to take it. While these ordinance changes don't actually confiscate people's property, they do authorize the taking control of people's property. And that is taking of property. So if anyone on this board would like control of property in this county, more property in this county in ag land, then you can offer, make an offer to the owners. Offer up some.
I'm going to ask you to please refrain from any kind of applause or keep the hearing chambers quiet out of respect for those that are speaking. Please contain yourself. Andrea Seastrand, one moment, please. Ms. Seastrand, let me find the next person here. Wade Taylor, are you here this morning? Mr. Taylor, no. Vic Montgomery. You follow Ms. Seastrand. Okay, Ms. Seastrand.
I support the continuation of the hearing on the ag cluster ordinance. I am opposed to the ordinance as it was proposed today, affecting almost 1 million acres in our county. And I consider this an assault on the private property rights. We hear a lot about private property rights. I sometimes think that the constituencies of San Luis Obispo and California and our nation truly do not understand what private property rights means. It is our land, it's our buildings, it's our material goods, it's us, and our means by which we support ourselves. Without property rights, we no longer have the means of our own survival, no longer free. I want to go on the record that there are two philosophies today in the world regarding private property rights. And it's amazing because all we have to do is look at the U.S. Declaration of Independence and the UN Declaration of Human Rights. We know that there's hundreds of countries, governments that belong to the UN, but very few believe in what is declared in the Declaration of Independence. Now, the purpose of government, according to the Declaration of Independence, is to protect the natural or unalienable rights of each individual. In short, you're born with rights. Government exists to protect them. You and the product of your labor belong to you. Unfortunately, in the Declaration of Human Rights for the United Nations, it states that it controls the individual for the greater good of a global community. I quote, "Rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purpose and principles of the United Nations." In other words, government grants, restricts, or withdraws your rights according to its needs. You and the product of our labor, belong to the community. So I am pleased to know there's a continuation on this issue, and I just ask that we protect our private property rights and embrace them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seastrand. Please, please. No applause, please. Vic Montgomery. Vic, if you wait 1 second. Ms. Dawson, Ms. Elsa Dawson, are you here this morning? Okay, she's here. Vic, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Victor Montgomery. First of all, I support the continuance. Second of all, our firm has designed and implemented four of the major ag clusters that have been done in this county. I want to reiterate our firm's offer to work closely with the staff, to refresh the ordinance, to retain its place as a visionary tool it was when it was adopted in 1985. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Montgomery. Let's see. Ms. Dawson is here. How about Gail Bickford? Gail, are you here this morning? She is. Okay. Ms. Dawson.
Mrs. Elsa Dawson, San Luis Obispo. I want to thank and agree with our three esteemed supervisors who believe in the continuation, and I appreciate their position. As for the fourth supervisor, I'm afraid that he has lost, through his actions, any respect I may have in his opinion, although I share a concern, as he says, but my concern is more for his motivation in pushing through this ag cluster. Too many of us have been preoccupied with work, with our family, with our future, and we fail to recognize what our decisions are that we need to make today. Well, we're regaining our focus, and our purpose is to become more and more proactive as needed. Thomas Jefferson said, "In questions of power, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." There are many of us who feel that this ordinance, this subdivision ordinance, is mischief. It is not in our best interest, and we encourage you, supervisors, to uphold the Constitution. I appreciate that there will be the courageous leadership that we need in this county. We urge you to be an influence for local power and for authority to bring back the constitutional rights that we have. We appreciate your position, and we vigorously urge you to vote against this damaging and debilitating ordinance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Gail Bickford.
Yes.
Gail, one moment, please.
Yes.
Maria Gilpin, are you here this morning? Maria? Oh, you get that one. How about Kelly Sutherland? Are you here? Okay. Would you write that on there, please? Thank you. Let's see. Mike Brown. You will follow Ms. Bickford. Ms. Bickford.
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm just so happy to see all of these people here and all this support here. I don't think there's much more for me to say between Josh, Andrea. The lady that spoke is saying exactly what I feel. So with that, I'm just fully support the continuance. Okay?
Very good.
Thank you.
Mike Brown, one moment, please. Mike. Quintana Ambrose, are you here this morning?
Yeah.
You are, and would you like to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, you're following Mr. Brown. Mike.
Mike Brown, representing CoLab. We appreciate the continuance and the opportunity to be able to participate in any further development. If it occurs, we think that revisiting the EIR and some of the alternatives presents an opportunity for a discussion. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brown. One moment, Ms. Ambrose. Dorothy Jennings, are you here this morning? I don't see her. Jamie Kirk, I know you're here. Okay. Ms. Ambrose, please.
Yes, Quintana Ambrose. I just wanted to say that, you know, there are so many people I concur with from not what you've already heard today, but also on the 13th. And the only other thing I wanted to say is, yeah, I totally go for the extension.
Very good. Thank you. Jamie Kirk, followed by Doug Filippone. Again.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Jamie Kirk. I'd like to first start off with a big thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Hill. Thank you, majority of the board, for taking the opportunity to continue this item and allow for further discussion with stakeholders. The ag cluster is an important tool for preserving ag. We need to keep it as a tool that we have available. I think that, as you've heard in public comment, the ordinances written would make it virtually impossible to do an ag cluster in the future. I've worked on a major cluster. I've also worked on several minor clusters, which are the smaller clusters. That's the one of the options that would go away with the ordinance as proposed. And those have been non-controversial projects. They've preserved ag. They've resulted in very minimal housing. So I think that's one thing we really need to look at keeping included. And I, like Mr. Montgomery, would love to offer my input. I'm a practitioner who knows how this works in the real world, so I'd like to offer to participate in the process. Again, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Kirk. Doug Filippone.
Am I the last one? I don't have to
wait
for the next
actually, person. No. You're right in the middle. You're the last one as a carryover.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. Thank you, Supervisors. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today. Having been an applicant in this process, I can tell you that I probably won't ever do another one. I particularly wouldn't be able to do one if this ordinance were passed as it is today. And three of the major, at least three, possibly four of the major ag clusters that have been done in the past, including the original one, could not be done today if you pass this ordinance. And I appreciate Supervisor Hill taking the lead on continuing this, and I appreciate the fact that if you went to your district and spoke to the folks that live in Varian, Tally, and Edna, that they could tell you just how much they love the place they live, and also encourage you to leave the ag cluster in its present form and encourage staff that to support the applicant when they actually do everything that it says in the ordinance to support them, because it is a painful process in its present form, and if you do anything, please improve it. And I support the continuance. Thank you very much. And
Thank you.
A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Mr. Filippone. I'm going to quickly run through this list of folks who were here in November, and they may have come in since we started public comment. If you're here, please come forward. Then I will start on the list of submittals today. There's probably now up 30 or 40. I'm going to limit the comment. Wade Taylor? No. Maria Gilpin? Did you? And then Dorothy Jennings. Are you here, Dorothy? Okay. Do you mind making a note on this thing? Oh, and I need Susie's back, if you find it. Okay, Ms. Anderson.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm appreciative of the continuance, and the majority of the 5th District is against this ordinance and don't agree in the direction that it was headed. So I really appreciate that the vote will not happen in the hearing until February, and thank you for not governing without the consent of the people.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Anderson. Okay, all requests to speak forms in on this item. You'll have 2 minutes. Please come forward when I call your name. First up, Robin Lee. Followed by Donald Cross.
I want to speak briefly to the issue of notification. I am just I'm a mom. I run a ministry. I've got a special needs daughter and a son who served in Iraq and a packed life. And this whole thing reminds me of a passage out of Elie Wiesel's book Night, where we were introduced to Moshe the Beetle, who was a spiritual leader in Elie Wiesel's community. He was a transient. He was not native. And at one point, the Nazis came in, and they took the transients, and they took them out of the community. And those people who lived in the community reassured themselves and said, that will never happen to us. We don't need to worry. The Nazis took these transients a couple of hundred miles away. They had them dig a ditch. They had them climb in the ditch, and then they shot them dead. Moshe the Beetle was shot in the leg and survived. He came back to his community, and he said, this is what they did, and they did not believe him. 2 years later, when the Nazis came in and rounded up Elie Wiesel and his family, Moshe the Beetle wept as he went through the streets, saying, I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you. Those of us who are just people living our lives do not understand, with all due respect, Mr. Gibson, that you feel that you have the right to come in and take the value from my property.
that never occurred to me. It never occurred to me that the Board of Supervisors, who are supposed to represent us, have that much perspective of their job, that you can make a decision that radically affects not only my life, but the potential care that I can offer my mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's and the potential future that I can offer my daughter who has special needs, because if this passes, I can't even build a house where my daughter could live independently and still give me the opportunity to take care of her, which is specifically why we bought the property. We have no means. We are not wealthy. We bought property because we believe in this country and because the property rights are what's guaranteed us.
Thank you. It's heartbreaking. Thank you, Ms. Lee.
I understand that, but I want you to know it's heartbreaking that you have that perspective.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. I like the sign idea. That doesn't disrupt the meeting, so hold those up all you want, but please keep it quiet. Be respectful to others. Randall Jordan, Donald Cross, followed by Randall Jordan. Are you both here? Are you Mr. Cross?
That's Randall Jordan.
Where's Mr. Cross? Okay, please come forward. Be ready to speak. Mr. Jordan, why don't you go ahead, and then we'll have Mr. Croft speak.
Thank you very much. Board, thank you for hearing me. Frank, hello. Frank and I have been friends for 30 years now. I am not for continuing this. You need to vote this down. You need to end this today. These continuances, basically all that they do is they give you more of an opportunity to dilute the public and keep us from coming to these meetings. My wife and I had to take off work today. We have one of the few construction companies in this county that actually has some work. And we had to leave today and come here to sit on this ag cluster. Doug Filipponi is right. It's not so much you guys, and I will say that there are certain of you that have an agenda. Your staff, you have people on the planning staff of this county that are socialists. And you need to look at that staff. You need to purge that staff. They are giving you bad information, and they're bringing things forward to this board that are taking away the rights of your citizens. And you need to stop that. So thank you for continuing it, but you should just vote it down today.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan.
Okay, thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Alexis. Kathy Longacre, followed by Eric Greeny.
Kathy Longacre, good morning, Supervisors. I do not support the continuance. I ask you to please accept the proposed amendments done by a fine job done by your staff. This is something that's been looked at for almost 4 years. Your A-Lab has A-Lab staff, I mean, advisory committee has looked at over this for several years, and this is these changes are based on a 25-year history of the ag cluster, and it's just trying to close some of the loopholes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Longacre. Eric Greening, followed by Carl Lynn. Mr. Lynn, are you here? Okay. Mr. Greening.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening. I'd like to first thank the chair for trying to keep the agenda sequence as it is promised to the people. I do not appreciate this reshuffling. I think those of us with other issues that are equally important feel quite steamrollered by the way this agenda is being handled today. That said, given that it's obvious this will be continued, and I wonder about the Brown Act implications of taking a straw vote on what you're going to vote on before hearing from the public, but given that you have apparently decided to continue this, I would ask that we get some clarification. We'd had a little bit of discussion of timing of different pieces of this. What will be the timing of the decision on the scope of further environmental review, and what will be the public participation in that decision? That's an action item, not a study session item. Next thing, I would like to ask that the Water Resources Advisory Committee be fully and thoroughly included in the process, as well as A-Lab. Both of them have important perspectives on this, and I know water has come to the top, so don't forget to include the RAC. Relative to the issue of takings, I guess the question I would ask is, are people who are currently beyond the five-mile limit, who are just living their lives on their property as it is, have they been taken from? Did anyone beyond that five-mile limit try to litigate a taking suit at the time that the current ag cluster ordinance was passed? If so, what was the disposition of that suit? Was anyone being taken from before we even had an ag cluster ordinance? I think those kinds of questions need to be answered if we're going to set the takings issue in context. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Carl Lynn, followed by Roger Hansen. Mr. Hansen, are you here? You are. Okay. Mr. Lynn.
Thank you. As a fourth-generation farmer in North County, I'm just against all this planning. It seems like that we're having to defend ourselves against the government. It just does not seem right. I'm against this whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn. Roger Hansen, followed by Dennis Law. Mr. Hansen?
Yes, point of clarity, please. If I speak at this time, do I waive my right to speak on this issue at another one of these meetings?
Absolutely not. You don't waive your rights to speak.
Very well.
When we have
I misunderstood what you had said earlier. Then.
Okay.
I do favor the continuance. I also agree with Mr. Thompson that maybe we should just vote it down. I disagree with the individual that stood up here and asked for a total engagement of trying to attack people that are saying stuff in front of this board. That would only encourage more people to come forward and not get along. And I don't believe that's what this board is all about. The people that have stood up here and spoke, I commend them very much. And do ask that you, as supervisors, develop some type of a plan to get more people involved. And it's not, and I agree with the lady that it's our duty to pay attention. I, for one, am going to start paying more attention to what is trying to be passed by this board. I agree so much.
And followed by Kathy Lambeth. Ms. Nelson.
Thank you for your continuation comments this morning. That said, I'd like to stay with my prepared statement. My husband and I are against this ordinance, past, present, and future. There's no way you can tweak this or delay this that would change our mind. I looked up your mission statement, and it says the San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors is committed to the implementation of such policies and the provision of such services that will enhance the economic, environmental, and social quality of the San Luis Obispo County. Unquote. There is nothing in this ordinance that enhances our economic, environmental, or social qualities of life here. In my opinion, it doesn't preserve it, but only diminishes it. Simply, I remind you, you are elected by the people to follow the wills and wishes of the people, certainly not the edicts and other states and institutions. People have mentioned the UN. That work, that these states or organizations that work against the will of the people. There is an outpouring of opposition to this ag cluster. You had excellent damage control this morning. California was once a model for the nation. Now it suffers, the late, great Golden State. This county is sort of a little California because of the opportunities and resources that it holds. If you want to further wreck this economy here in California, then you've got one of the tools in front of you. It is a model for chronic government overregulation and overreach into the private lives. Yes, you have the legislative power to do this, but shame on you if you have the nerve to actually pass it. The ag people in this county are the best stewards of the ag land. Please do not tether them with these restraints that are before you today or in February. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Nelson. Kathy Lambeth, followed by Marianne Brown. Ms. Lambeth.
I appreciate the continuance of this issue because there are so many unanswered questions and unexplored issues. However, this is such a blatant violation of property rights, in my view, that I wish you would just vote it down today, not waste any more time or money on it. There are many of us who bought our property with plans to build an additional residence for family members. To have that option pulled out from under us is not only infuriating, but a clear infringement on our property rights guaranteed by the Constitution. I cannot comprehend the arrogance of those of you who support this assault on our property rights. Government is supposed to serve us and protect our rights, not take them away. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Lambeth, I do want to point out that this ordinance would not prevent you from building another dwelling on your house, on your property, just for clarification. Marianne Brown, followed by Vic. You've already spoken. Ted Gilbert, are you up? Marianne Brown? Are you here?
She was not able to make it.
She's not? Okay. How about Ted Gilbert?
Yeah.
Okay. And Elsa Dawson?
I'm still against the
bag. She spoke
already. You spoke already. Thank you, Ms. Dawson. Andrea Seastrand spoke already. Gail Bickford. Ms. Bloomfield, you did as well, right? It looks like David Leader. Okay, and you haven't spoken, so either one. But whatever happened to Ted Gilbert?
He has right here.
Okay, so go ahead, Mr. Leader, and then we'll have...
Well, good morning. As a small farmer and wine grape grower, I know firsthand how arduous it is to generate a profit, even a small profit. Your initiative to remove ag clustering only benefits smart growth proponents. It does nothing to help the benefits of a farmer. Your proposal only takes away property rights. It's big brother and big government at best. Vote it down. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Ted Gilbert, followed by Courtney Keenow. Mr. Gilbert?
Gentlemen of the Board of Supervisors, I'm opposed to the ag clusters. My name is Ted Gilbert. And I am a member of the California Cattlemen's Association, and I live in Paso Robles, and I'm registered to vote in the county of San Luis Obispo, but I also have property in Monterey County. The agriculture productive area that we live in is a beautiful and a wonderful area. Much of which has been deposited below sea level in the past. And it's on the top of the mountains out of San Miguel, and things change. This old globe is a thing that is never stable, so that plants can grow. And through photosynthesis, that's the way we get our oxygen. If you like breathing, why, you need CO2 in the atmosphere, and it's a cycle. It goes around. The carbon is consumed through the things we eat.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Let's see. Courtney. Keenow, you're...
My name, but you said I already spoke, but I have not spoken. Oh,
okay. I'm sorry. Hang in there. We'll get to you. Courtney, please.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson and members of the board. My name is Courtney Keno. I am here today representing the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, our nearly 1,400 members, and the 32,000 employees that we represent in the county. I first want to appreciate Supervisor Hill for his leadership on the continuation of this matter. We support the continuation. There were a number of items that we brought up earlier on in this process that have already been talked about today. The looking at all of this as part of the land use planning as a whole, and having both the environmental and economic impact studies done by third-party analysis, we think the process could be greatly benefited by that. Having a wide range of housing options is absolutely a priority to our members, and so the continuation and evaluation of that is appreciated, and we would love to continue to be a part of the process moving forward. Thank you.
Very, very good. Thank you, Ms. Keenow. Lynn Bloomfield, that would be you, and then followed by Jean Edwards.
Thank you. It's Lene Bloomfield. And I'd just like to say that I appreciate that you are going to continue this later. I would rather you not do it at all. I really feel like this is an assault on our property rights. And, you know, some of us don't have very much money, and we save our money to buy property, and then we, you know, then you want to control everything that we do on our property. It just isn't right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bloomfield. Jean Edwards, followed by Laura Mordaunt.
I'm Jean Edwards from Cayucas, and I'm very much against this process. To me, it's a land grab. I don't know how the county, the government, can take people's land. And I don't understand it, and I'm very, very much against it. I like to eat. I like the farmers. I like the cattlemen. So I think this should be vetoed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Laura Mordaunt, followed by Mike Sparrow.
I'm wondering why we haven't asked who is here to speak, if we could just allow you to do a straw man vote so we actually believe that the continuance is going to be voted in an affirmative, so that we could allow people who came here today to either have you vote no on it or continue it into next year. And that way, maybe we could conclude what we're doing if those out there were polled and allowed to make that known to you, so that we... Because what has happened here is that we've had a very change in agenda, and I do understand that that's impacting many others. So possibly that would be something you could consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mordaunt. Let's see. Mike Sparrow?
Here.
There you are, sir, followed by George Sullivan.
I want to say thank you to the board for leading through difficult issues like this and for your willingness to continue this. I have pastored in this community since 1986. I've been recently informed about the proposed attempt to bring greater restrictions on rural landowners in Slo County. I oppose any additional regulations and restrictions against them. In 1997, our church began the planning process to build under current county jurisdiction, and the zoning was appropriate for church use, yet we went through 7 years of environmental work and revisions totaling over $200,000. The process was grueling, costly, and extremely excessive. Although this policy may not directly affect us, I feel the regulations currently in place are already more than adequate to evaluate any future county development project by project. As much as these attempts at restriction are in the name of preserving ag land, I feel the continued gradual eroding of personal property rights is damaging to our culture. I would rather be in a county that still allows people to live their dreams. Sometimes we think we're doing future generations a favor by restricting land use, but I believe we will owe future generations an apology for stealing or restricting their dreams and desires. Smart growth is helping people experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I counted 8 families recently I know who have property they owned or rented with multi-units for housing different generations of their own families. With pending...
I see it more of a taking, not in just property rights, but I believe it's more about water. And I think the fiscal cliff that's we're talking about in the news and the media, I'm afraid that if this were to pass, that it would put a great burden on the finances of this county through all the litigation and issues that people present. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Joyce Albright, followed by Terry Strickland.
Can you help her?
Can you hear me?
Ms. Albright, look at the base of the microphone. There's at the very base, where it's attached.
On the stem?
On the stem. Follow the microphone down, and there should be a little button.
There's a button?
There
you go. You got it? Okay, it's working now. Joyce Albright of Los Osos, I am encouraged and overwhelmed by the comments of the audience regarding the Ag Cluster Ordinance Amendment and support voting it down today. Understanding the scope of your responsibilities and your efforts on behalf of your constituents, I thank you for listening and fulfilling your legal obligations to the property owners of this county. Your direction regarding controlling our property rights through the smart growth policy, which is not smart growth, needs to cease. Please move on to bringing jobs to San Luis Obispo County. That's more important. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Albright. Carrie Strickland, followed by Kelly Sutherland.
She doesn't want to. She's already been called. Pardon? She already passed once.
She already passed.
Oh, she passed. Okay, thank you. And Bill, you've already spoken. Bill Pelfrey. Edward Veek, are you out there, Edward? Okay. Ms. Strickland.
Terry Strickland, Napomo. I have to disagree with the chairman. This meeting was not properly noticed, and I don't think it matters whether there were 100 previous meetings about this issue, 100 previous notices. This meeting is going to affect hundreds of families in this county for the rest of their lives, and it was not properly noticed. The EIR states the new ordinance eliminates the potential of 6,275 houses from ever being applied for, let alone built. The county CRI suggests that these foregone houses can be shifted to the cities and unincorporated villages. So I asked my neighbors, are you ready to embrace higher densities to accommodate this planning department's smart growth ideology? Because someone will have to. The economic analysis, as Mr. Meacham pointed out, is so flawed it needs to be thrown out. It's you can't even discuss it. It's so ridiculous. And Supervisor Gibson was quoted in the Tribune recently saying that the opponents of this ordinance were going to filibuster and that it wasn't going to work. Supervisors, this isn't about filibustering. This is about freedom of speech, and you should all be thrilled that this meeting room is packed with concerned citizens who have taken time out of their day to be here and weigh in on this issue. You should be applauding this group of people, and the audience applauding speakers, that's part of their freedom of speech. I say leave this alone. This proposed ordinance is not needed. Staff should not be wasting any more tax dollars on this issue.
Thank you, Ms. Strickland. Edward, you're getting out of control again, folks. Edward Veek, followed by Jerry Balint. Did I get that right, Jerry? Are you out there? Okay, good.
Edward Veek of Atascadero.
Yes, Mr. Veek.
The United Nations Agenda 21 is in a direct assault upon the property rights of every American. It is designed to end American sovereignty. Using false data under the guise of environmental movement to save the planet, regulations and laws are being passed, bringing us closer and closer to that end. This process has been engineered through the United Nations in its quest to destroy the American way of life and enact its one world government. Terms such as sustainable development, social equity, smart growth, and wildlife corridor are taken directly from the publications of the UN Agenda 21. In fact, I heard those terms echoed by one of the supervisors here today. Many of the rules and regulations you are enacting and passing were proposed and written by arms of the UN, such as ICLEI. ICLEI stands for International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. However, ICLEI has now referred to its term as in a different term, making it warm and fuzzy so it sounds good. It's now considered to be called Local Governments for Sustainability. It's an effort to hide its origin. Many elected and appointed staff members deny or fail to acknowledge the existence of Agenda 21 and its true goal. However, if they and you become informed, you will see that you are being used. It is your duty.
Family comes with property rights and freedoms. Okay,
And I can't really believe I'm here today, okay, asking you folks to kill this bill, okay? If you won't kill it today, I'm just asking you folks to do a little research up in Washington State. It's causing a lot of problems up there, okay? And I have a problem coming here today and asking you folks for something that already belongs to us, okay? It belongs to us, and now you want to take it away, okay? So what I'm saying, property rights and family is something that's sacred. It's something that should not be trifled with, okay? And I can't believe I'm here today again, okay? Like in 205, coming to ask you folks about, can I build a house, but I want to build a house so nobody else can see it, the view shed, okay? And the time and effort we put in on that. So I don't understand what you folks don't get, but the only thing I'm going to just end this with now, can you imagine all those guys in Normandy when that gate went down and they went up that beach and bullets whizzing by their heads and they're fighting for our freedoms? And you folks, you don't see like you get it. And so I'm just asking you right now, just maybe we can get a vote, just kill this thing. Okay, before it goes any further. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Balin. John Teixeira, followed by Mike Passenger.
I'm John Teixeira from Paso Robles, California, and I agree with that last gentleman in regards to his comment about those men from Normandy. That's what this country was founded on, and we need to remember that. The far-reaching effects of the ag cluster ordinance, including effects upon future land use and values, mandate that each and every property owner affected by this ordinance receive an individual notice at their current residence via the U.S. postal system. An open and transparent system of government, which is what we're always talking about, mandates this method of notification be implemented. The idea that a notice posted on the back pages of an out-of-date newspaper, such as the Tribune, a newspaper with limited circulation and serves as proper notice for an issue which affects the future property rights of all agricultural property in San Luis Obispo County is unacceptable, if not criminal, in intent. President George Washington said, "Private property and freedom are inseparable." John Adams said, "Property must be secured or liberty cannot exist." In America, our freedom and liberty are tied to individual property rights. The purpose of government is to protect the natural or inalienable rights of each individual.
Thank you, Mr. Teixeira. Mike Passenger, followed by Will Woolley.
Thank you. My name is Mike, and I'm taking my day off. I own a small business. I don't own property. However, what we're discussing here today is just such a microcosm of what is going on statewide and on a national level. And I've been watching this as an immigrant since I've moved here in 1988. I never thought in my life I'd see this country and what's happening in this county happening. I don't understand it. Being in the landscape trade, one of the ordinances that was passed in L.A. a few years ago was leaf blowers. And I thought to myself, there's no way that they're ever going to pass this ordinance. Why would you do that? Somebody's trying to make a living. It didn't affect me. I didn't live in L.A. But it was just one of those things where you go, it affects the landscape guys. But because a few people complained, an entire industry was affected. Not just the people that are, raking the leaves and doing all that, but the guys that make the equipment. It affects the homeowner because of rates going up. And, so on and on it went. This was in the early 90s. now, just a few years ago, we're living in Paso Robles with the oak tree ordinance, which, I love oak trees like the next guy. But what does an effect do when you can't touch an oak tree without paying someone that's a professional arborist? In a nutshell, this ordinance ends up making it to where if you own property, you're not going to want to plant an oak tree. So what are you doing? You're getting rid of oak trees instead of preserving them. So this is one of those things where it's just hand in hand with a larger picture, and we have a responsibility as citizens.
Thank you.
Stand up.
Thank you, Mr. Passenger. Will Woolley, followed by Jack Naglison, I believe is the pronunciation of the last name. Jack, are you out there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Woolley.
Thank you. I was here today to voice my dis-
like many other people here. I'm not going to regurgitate what they've said, but all of these things that are ICLEI, Agenda 21, all of those things are UN-driven things. Right? 178 countries joined us in 92 from the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit, and both the left and the right, I totally encourage them to study it. I'm sure you have educated yourself on it. Many people that are conservatives, like myself, but Rosa Korig is Democrats against Agenda 21. She's the lady that fought the smart meters, very smart lady. She's spoken with the Tea Parties. She's crossed the lines. We deal with her every day. And it's a very educational thing for everyone. And I'm up here to ask everybody on both sides of this issue to seriously look at this. It's not just a conspiracy theory. It's happening. It's been in process for over 20 years now, and it's grossly affecting rural people. But rural people, when we can't grow things for people that live in the city, you know, it's a balance. We've got city workers. We've got people in the country. People have stated we need the families a place to stay. That's how we do it out in the countries, as we have several people on a location. So I'm just asking everyone to look at Agenda 21 and Democrats against Agenda 21 and educate themselves on this policy. And I would like this voted down today with many other people.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Julie Tacker, followed by Steve John.
Good morning. I am Julie Tachter. I live in District 2. I want to speak to the process today. I think the...
Speak to the item. The ag cluster item.
This is the item, sir. Okay. I will speak to where it ended up today.
Okay. All right. Very good. Continuance.
Are you going to interrupt me?
No,
are you really
no,
going to take away my time?
I'm going to ask you to speak to the item, please, Ms. Tacker.
Okay, and I will do that, but I would like a little more time since you've interrupted me. I'm shocked. I have an observation. The observation is, who's not here? The support for this ordinance is not here. Mr. Hill made the motion to upset the agenda, and I'm curious if he maybe tweeted or made some contact with the support for the ordinance, because I would think those people were here, would be here. And if they would be here, they would be here probably a little later, because the item would, if he didn't tweet them, they would come a little later because the item would have fallen a little later in the day. So I object to the way the agenda was shuffled, and I believe that was undemocratic and very untransparent. I'm very insulted by the characterizations that Mr. Gibson has placed on the opposition to this ordinance, and I say to you, the opposers, welcome to Los Osos. You will be marginalized, insulted, and discredited for your questions and your concerns about the issues that matter most deeply to you. I'm done.
Good. Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Steve Johns, followed by Nancy Forrest. Mr. Johns.
Good morning, gentlemen. Steve Johns, I'm speaking on behalf today of the San Luis Obispo County Cattlemen's Association. As all of you are well aware, the San Luis County Cattlemen's Association has a long-standing record of being against any policy that infringes on personal property rights. We are especially against any policy that reduces property values. We agree with your decision to take more time so that more landowners can be informed of this new policy. And with that said, I want to go on record that the members of the San Luis Obispo County Cattlemen's Association are against this new ag cluster amendment. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Johns. Nancy Forrest.
Yes. My name is...
Okay, one moment, please, Ms. Forrest. Mm-hmm. Followed by Sandy Jack. Okay, Ms. Forrest.
All right. My name is Nancy Forrest. I'm here to speak against the ag cluster. I would not support it past, present, and future. My preference would be that you vote it down today, but I will accept your decision to continue it. I support the farmers and their right to use their property as they see fit. I have more confidence in their ability to use their own land than the government dictating to them how they might use it. Shame on any government who does that. I would ask that you stand up for our farmers. This is a wine industry mecca. You know, we should be supporting wholeheartedly agriculture. And if you don't, we won't be supporting you in the future.
Thank you, Ms. Forrest. Sandy Jack, are you right out here. There somewhere? Okay, I see you. And followed by Susan Harvey.
Mr. Chairman, board members, in my opinion, the agricultural cluster subdivision rules are nothing more than one more attempt by this board to violate our constitutional and inalienable rights, which in part are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The proposed rules, among other things, limit each parcel to one single residence and eliminates all secondary dwellings. That leaves no way to accommodate aging parents, sons, daughters, and other relatives needing a home or shelter. For hundreds of years, our farm families lived, worked, and worked together, which helped strengthen family life and values. Why is this board determined to attack the way the very traditional part of rural American heritage, particularly when our current economy is driving aging parents, sons, and daughters back to their families because they can't afford to buy or rent and don't have a job? The CEQA review is not current, as it does not take into account the county's adoption of a number of new restrictions prohibiting the subdivision of land which overlaps much of the same area included in the revived ag cluster subdivision proposed revisions. The cumulative impact of the Paso Water Basin lot creation prohibitions, changes to the transfer of development credit ordinance, and the adoption of many restrictive provisions in the conservation and open space element of the general plan should now be considered. I request the Board of Supervisors reject the amendments and the flawed EIR not be certified. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jack. Sue Harvey, followed by Lisa Bedrogi. Ms. Harvey.
Good morning, Supervisors, and thank you for accommodating my ability to speak. I'm speaking for North County Watch today, and there's a lot of rhetoric and off-topic comments, and it's unfortunate that I feel a lot of the public doesn't understand the goal of these amendments, which is to protect ag land from the abuses that are evident in the Santa Margarita Ranch approval and the upcoming Leticia Ag Cluster. So mostly I can only speak from our experience, and both of those projects, especially Santa Margarita Ranch, since that's what I mostly know about, was an extremely flawed approval and violated, I believe, the intent of the Ag Cluster ordinance, and these amendments were crafted for the purpose of fixing those problems. And I also want to state that it's taken the, you know, finances of several hundred of your constituents to fight that Santa Margarita Ranch proposal in court. It's going to have another court hearing January 4th. And it's kind of, you know, to say nothing of the emotional work that everyone's put into it, and not just the Board of North County Watch, but everybody. But the actual cost is, you know, in the six figures. And I don't think that's something to be ignored, and I don't think that it's something to open other communities to have to face to defend. There are huge problems with the ag cluster ordinance as it is written now and as it is gets brought forward in the process. And Leticia and Santa Margarita Ranch are examples of that. And one of the really huge problems was water, and I hope that you'll approve the cluster or amendments today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harvey. Lisa Bedrogi, followed by Stan House, and then after Mr. House will be Sandra Cahill. And Sandra's my last request to speak, so we're going to close public comment after Ms. Cahill. Ms. Bedrogi, again, followed by Stan House.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Lisa Bedrogi, and I'm a land use and public policy advisor. Most of you know me as the government affairs coordinator for the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. I did take this item to our board of directors, and because we really don't have a dog in the fight in this issue, I recommended that we don't participate in this, because your board of supervisors already passed an absolute prohibition on all land subdivisions in September. So therefore, if you are in the Paso Robles groundwater basin, you can't apply for an ag cluster subdivision. I've been very involved in that process, but this would be an excellent opportunity to utilize that economic strategic plan process to evaluate the real economic impacts associated with this ordinance. I do have my letter to submit to you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bedrogi. Stan House, followed by Sandra Cahill.
Yes, Stan House, Morrow Bay. What is the problem? Family farms and ranches are an essential income-producing part of our county's history. They've provided jobs and food for generations for the people who work on the land and the general population of people who live here. In other words, they work hard and provide a needed service for those of us who need to eat to survive. And what do we do to thank them? It seems that this county and this state does everything it can to make it harder for them to succeed. We take up their time with such things as proposed viewshed ordinances, stormwater runoff regulations, AB 32, energy audits, special events regulations, and now this ag cluster change, which would affect 1 million acres of property and the ability of farm families to use their land as they see fit. Instead of thanking them for all they've done for generations to help us shop local, they are bombarded with one new rule, law, regulation, or edict after another, which makes it harder for them to hang on to the family business. On top of this, the talk of new estate tax rules that might take place in January make it that much harder to pass farmland down to future generations. What is the problem? Why is it impossible to mail out notices to every property owner that the proposed ag cluster would affect? You certainly have no problem sending out tax bills to all of these people. I support the continuance. Then I hope that after considerable consideration, you will vote to deny the changes to the ag cluster ordinance and for once say thanks to the people in this county who work 7 days a week to make sure that we have food on our tables. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. House. And my last request to speak on public comment on this item is Sandra Cahill. Ms. Cahill.
Thank you, Board, for letting me speak today. I'm not a large landowner. And these proposed changes don't affect me at all, except for the belief in the Constitution and property rights. Under the proposed changes, the property owners affected would have to use their land for farming in perpetuity, with virtually no chance of subdivision or using it for other purposes. I'm familiar with how these incremental changes eventually leave the land unusable. Example, if there's any standing water, it becomes a riparian habitat. If there's too much runoff and the landowner has to mitigate the runoff and the mitigation becomes too expensive to farm the land any longer, the property owner still has to pay the property taxes and keep the land up and receives no compensation. At least with eminent domain, the property owner receives just compensation for the taking. And I thank you for letting me speak today.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Cahill. That concludes a request to speak on public comment on this item, so I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to staff and board. But I'm going to take a short break, and we'll reconvene at 11:15. So 10 minutes. 10-minute short break, then we'll reconvene. So if you leave the chambers, please return. Can continue the meeting? Thank you. Now that we've closed it to public comment, this is an opportunity for staff and the board to respond to your comments and to take action on this item. So we'll begin that discussion now. I'll ask Mr. Giffen to make a clarification about what might happen at our February strategic planning session. We just want to be sure that there's no misunderstanding about that process and the purpose of it and so forth. So, Mr. Giffen.
Certainly, Chairman Patterson, members of the board, Jason Giffen. I want to just take a quick opportunity to hopefully demystify the process following what CAO Dan Buckshy outlined. We do have two strategic planning sessions coming up next calendar year, one in February, and then we typically have one in the fall. But I want to first focus on that first session in February. Given the breadth and depth of topics that were brought up initially by the board, and then during testimony, staff's been taking notes and identifying what themes and issues have come up during public comment today, we wouldn't be at any point to be able to respond with, one, the holidays coming up, and then also given the interest to have additional public outreach conducted on those topics before it's for the public.
Right, and given the direction that the board provides to staff, they would be able to articulate the actual process that it would have to go through again, whether the environmental impact report could just be supplemented or completely redone, and give a timeline for that effort as well. Before I ask my colleagues to speak, I wanted to address just a couple of issues and some notes that I've made both at the November meeting and today. And I want to first just briefly explain, many of you were not here for the November meeting, and at that meeting we had a staff report that spoke about the changes that are being recommended, and we didn't have that this morning. What the ag cluster ordinance is it was adopted in 1985. And the intent behind it, and the Varian Ranch south of San Luis Obispo was the model that was used to cluster development on ag land and then concentrate it on a percentage of that ag land under one ownership and then put the rest of the parcel in an ag conservation easement, so there would be no further development on that parcel. That was the idea behind it. There's been probably a half a dozen, maybe eight ag clusters since 1985, and each one has been a little bit different. None of them actually look like the Varian Ranch ag cluster. And the last one that this board had before was a residential ag cluster subdivision on the Santa Margarita Ranch that went through a long process, an environmental impact report, and then all the various hearings and so forth. And there were a number of issues raised about that particular ag cluster that raised concerns primarily among the agricultural community. And we do have, I have it here today, I won't read it, but a letter from our Agricultural Liaison Advisory Board, which is comprised of representatives from the different sectors of agriculture. There's about 18 members on that board. And they, too, this is the agricultural community, raised some concerns about the ag cluster ordinance and how it really wasn't doing what it was supposed to do in terms of allowing additional development on ag land in exchange for conserving that ag land. And they had some very specific concerns, the density bonus, water issues, the lack of the parcels being contiguous, impacts to ongoing agriculture, where the buffer zone goes. Does it go on the ag land or does it go on the residential land? What do you use to actually determine how much land is being impacted? Do you count the roads and all of the rest of the infrastructure? There were a lot of issues that the ag community raised about how the cluster was being used. And that's what drove the effort to make these amendments that are before us today. And that was the motivation. That's why we've done it, to close some of those loopholes. And I want to mention, it was mentioned at the November meeting by one individual, that this was the best tool that we have in San Luis Obispo County for preserving agriculture. And it hasn't been used that much. It isn't the best tool by any means. We have the Williamson Act, which puts agricultural land under contract for 10 or 20 years, ongoing. Each year it's renewed for 10 or 20 years, unless the landowner wants to take it out of contract, and it takes 10 to 20 years to do that. That's the best agricultural preservation tool we have in this county. And percentage-wise, we have approximately 800,000 acres of land in Williamson Act contract in this county right now. And that gives the property owner a reduction in their property taxes based on not on the land value, but on the productivity, the agricultural productivity of that land. And that program in San Luis Obispo County currently saves agricultural landowners who are under without development. That's another means that gives you even better ag conservation that's available to people and commonly used. So I again want to emphasize that there are other methods that people use besides the ag cluster ordinance. And the concern of the agricultural community back in 2009 when we started this process is that the program, as it was written and implemented at that time, was actually a development incentive for agricultural landowners rather than an ag conservation incentive, as it was originally intended to be. That's why we're here today. The second thing that I want to say is there's been so much discussion about, we didn't know about this. How can we better notify people? And I can appreciate that. You know, you're all busy folks. You have your working lives, your family lives, your personal and private lives. And it's hard to keep up with all the things that's going on in government. But I'm just going to quickly run through a list of opportunities that you have to engage at the ground floor if you want to be involved in public policy. We have community service areas, community service districts, about a dozen of each of those countywide. We've got community advisory councils, 14 of those. All of those have boards that are elected by the people within those respective districts. You can get involved there. They have public meetings on a monthly basis. We have our Ag Liaison Advisory Board, which I mentioned, that advises this board on agricultural policy issues. That's a public meeting also. The Water Resources Advisory Committee, again, a committee of about 30 different individuals who advise this board on water issues countywide. Their meetings are public, posted on the website. We have the Planning Commission and then, of course, the Board of Supervisors. We have the Planning website, Public Works website, the County website. All of those have these policies and programs and issues posted on them well in advance of the meetings, so you can educate yourself that way. And also, if there's a particular project you're interested in your neighborhood or in your area, the planning department and the public works department keep the distribution list, and they will send you notices via email. And if you don't have email and you request a postcard or a written letter, you can get on that list. That's an opportunity that does exist. So there are many ways to stay engaged and involved. And I just wanted to, since there was so much concern about that expressed both in November and today, I wanted to just quickly give you that information so you can better engage in the process from the very beginning. So that concludes my remarks. I'm certainly agreeable to a continuance and have the opportunity to revisit these issues. I think that the process went well. We have recommendations of support for what we have in front of us from our Ag Liaison Advisory Board, from our Water Resources Advisory Committee. Also, the Planning Commission voted to approve the recommendations as well. But based on your comments of my colleagues on the board that you want, and others that want to pursue this further, I'm certainly willing to do that, though I think that we have exercised the process thoroughly and well and responded to the issues that were raised originally to help make the Ag Cluster Program work better as it was intended to 25 years ago when it was adopted. So I'll end my speech. You can all wave your hands now there and applaud. But that's my two cents. And now I'll go to Supervisor Meacham, followed by Supervisor Hill. Mr. Meacham.
It sounded more like 10 cents, Mr. Chairman. But, I have a suggestion, though, on the discussion night when we get back to the discussion, Mr. Giffen and also County Administrator. This year we had a number of sessions in which we had half days. If we see something like that, that is a potential half-day session, perhaps we can engage in some kind of a discussion that allows for more than 3 minutes for some of the organizations that represent us, like ALAB, like the Farm Bureau, folks like that that have a vested interest in this, so that we can really get right down to the nitty-gritty. If there's a way to do that, I think that might help. The second issue regarding the communication, one of those things that I'm going to work really hard in this next 4 years in office is, how do you get your information?
Lots of ways to communicate and stay informed. Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following up with Mr. Meacham, he and I have lively discussions from time to time. I think we have a useful breadth of perspective on things. I certainly understand and support your ideas on process here. But at the end, you touched on substance of this ordinance. And I was interested to see the email that came in yesterday, from ALAB. And I guess, as I said in my earlier comments, I can support continuing this. It's going to get continued by the nature that I see the straw vote going. But I can support that if we go into it with the understanding that the ordinance as it stands needs to be modified. I mean, if we're not on the same page as its need to be modified, then I wonder whether we're going to engage a process that's useful. So I'd be interested in your reaction, Mr. Meacham, as to the comments that are in the ALAB letter. You know, they spent quite a lot of time. For instance, the need to reduce or eliminate the density bonus. I mean, you've read that. I mean, in looking at that, is that on the table for you in terms of considering future changes here?
I'm not going to get into the debate about this right now, and that's why I think we're continuing this item so that we can allow for those folks to be able to engage in that discussion. I'd like to hear more from the Ag Liaison groups, and I want to reach out to some of the ranchers and the farmers to find out what their perspective on this is. I got to represent them. I'm not just coming here with my what I think is the thing to do here.
I understand that.
And I know what you're looking for. You're looking for direction to staff. And I think that, if I understand, Mr. Giffen has explained all the different things that we've laid out. And I'm willing to talk about those. I'm willing to take a look at this to figure out what we need to do with this ordinance.
Right.
And that's pretty much where I'm going with
it. And again, in terms of the framework here, that, you know, the issues were identified by a wide range of entities well beyond this board. Yes, we're here to represent people. We're also here to do what's in the best interest of the county as a whole. I think that's very clear in our charge.
You disagree with that, folks? Yeah. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
So we're just here to do what you want, not what is in the best interest of the county.
Anyway,
let's move it along. Okay. All right. So we do have Supervisor Hill up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's time to move on with the continuance off calendar. I think staff has adequate direction on all of the items, and I know that they're going to reach out to a fair number of folks who've been involved in the planning, and some other folks have been involved even in the preparation of this, and I'll recommend some, as others will too, to make sure that they are able to offer their opinion. One of the things that I think we did leave out too, and it might be interesting for people who are here today, is looking at the number of ag clusters, both major and minor, that we have in the county that are actually operational, that have been approved, that have been built or in the process, and looking at some of the some of the things that have worked and not worked. And also, I mean, the truth is, if you see whether these are tools that are used by people to stay in farming, you'd probably find that that's not actually the case. It's not at all the case, in fact. But I think there's information to be gleaned from the actual ag clusters themselves that have been built. So with that, I move that we continue this off calendar, expecting to see an update, I guess, is in February.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded that we continue this item off calendar with planning staff bringing it back with the list of other priorities during our strategic planning session in February. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Patterson?
Yes. Motion carries. The way we'll work the rest of the agenda, since we've reordered it a little bit, we will have our consent calendar followed by presentations, though the gentleman who was going to receive a presentation is no longer here, so we may, if he comes, we'll do that presentation. If he doesn't, we'll schedule it for another meeting later. And then we have general public comment. We have our board committee reports, which we could postpone until next week. And then we go into closed session, and Ms. Neal, closed session, what do you estimate that will take?
I would estimate about 40 minutes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So that's our order. We'll go. Would you please take your conversations outside so we can continue our meeting? Thank you. Well, yeah. Is he on the jury, or is he one of the?
He goes there in a uniform. You're not going to pick him.
The plaintiff or defendant. Okay, please take your conversations outside. Thank you. Next up is our slowly quieting down. Okay, Now we'll go to consent, our consent calendar. I do have some requests to speak on items that are on consent, so we'll start with that. I'll open it to the public for comment on consent. And we'll begin with Lindy Owen. Lindy, are you out there somewhere? No? Lindy Owen. Laura Mordaunt. Sandra Santini. Sandra, are you're here? Okay. Are you Sandra? Yes, please come forward. And then Sandra Tamler also. And I believe she's here, right? Okay. Ms. Santini?
Hello. I'm a taxpayer in San Luis Obispo County, and this is my first visit to a supervisor's meeting.
Yeah, please state your name for the record.
Sandra Santini.
Thank you.
I read something in the newspaper, and I was concerned about it, and that's why I'm here today. I had always assumed that the supervisors were looking out for the taxpayers' financial well-being, and I am concerned about the possibility of a sexual harassment case right now that we are considering. Or maybe not considering, but there's a possibility that something like this might occur.
Okay, now...
I read the...
Ms. Santini, item number two is what we're referring to. Is that the item?
I'm talking about that in relation to changing number two, which was...
amending the emergency services position allocation list?
Submittal of a resolution amending the position allocation list for the Office of Emergency Services. Are we on the right? That's the one that
that's
I
the one,
to
yes.
speak on.
Yes.
And because of what I read in the local newspaper, I was concerned about the possibility of a sexual harassment case now or in the future. And I'm wondering, as a taxpayer, how the Board of Supervisors is protecting us, taxpayers, from this from occurring. I don't know whether this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I assumed it did. And I would...
Okay.
If I need to be corrected,
okay,
please do so, because I would assume that the financial well-being of taxpayers... And if I assume correctly, and maybe you can explain this to me, don't sexual harassment laws begin at state and federal levels, and how would they be affecting our community, our county, and are we protected? I know you have values, a value statement, but these values are relative, and harassment laws are laws. How are you protecting us from this?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Santini. I'm going to ask staff to actually go ahead and respond and describe what consent item number two is, because my other requests to speak are all on consent item number two, and I think it's important that folks have a clear understanding of what that's all about.
Yeah, thank you, Dan Buckshy,
Mr. Buckshy,
County Administrator. Frankly, I have really no idea what the speaker was just speaking about. I'm rather confused. To the analyst, aide went before your board civil service commission a few months ago, well before anything has come about related to what the speaker referenced.
Okay, fine. And so given that explanation, I'm going to hold any speaker to speaking specifically to that position allocation change in emergency services. So was that your intent, Ms. Santini spoke, Laura Mordaunt, Lindy Owen, and Sandra Tanler, now that you have an understanding of what the issue is?
Better, and I don't have a comment at this time.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So with that, then... those were my only requests to speak on items on consent, so I will close it to the public and bring it back to the board and ask my colleagues if they want to speak to any items on consent. Mr. Gibson?
None, sir.
Mr. Hill?
No, thank you, sir.
Mr. Meacham?
I just have one question, yes, on number 9.
Okay. And Mr. Teixeira?
Item 4 and 5, please.
Okay, we'll start with you then, Supervisor Teixeira, 4 and 5.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. On item 4, I would like to thank Real Property, General Services, and all the agencies that have worked to make this lease agreement for the riparian habitat and the oak tree mitigation at the Dan Adobe come to fruition. I know this was pulled a month or so ago from the agenda because there was some complications with it, and through the work of staff and Land Conservancy, we've brought it back for board approval. I'd like to thank all those people involved, and I see some of them in the audience today. So good work there, and it's a good project that's going to add some oak tree riparian habitat to the Dan Adobe and the surrounding property owned by the county. Going on to item number 5, this is a major star for county parks. Curtis Black and the staff, Sean and Elizabeth and everybody out there do outstanding work. And to get this kind of a grant to make those improvements to San Margarita Lake and the surrounding campgrounds and stuff, my hat's off to you. I know how tough it is and how competitive the grant process is. So good work there, and we're looking forward to when that's done. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Teixeira. For those of you who may not know, Paul Teixeira used to serve on the County Parks and Rec Commission, so he's quite familiar with all of the projects and the park resources that we have in San Luis Obispo County. So thank you for that comment, Supervisor Teixeira. Supervisor Meacham.
Yes, just quickly, and Mr. Chairman, you can probably answer this question for me. I know this is a memorandum of understanding to extend the time frame on the library, and I'm just curious how close they are.
Last week, they were only $124,000 away from their $2 million goal.
Wow. Okay.
So we've got a big event coming up in early March. We expect to reach our goal then, if not sooner, and hopefully get that library and county offices built next year in time to celebrate during the Atascadero Centennial next fall.
Okay, thank you. Good luck with that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate my colleague's support on the Atascadero project as well as the Cambria project. The Friends of the Cambria Library reached their fundraising goal in the past month or so, so we're well underway, and I can't pass up this opportunity to say while many cities and counties throughout the state are cutting back their service hours at their libraries, and some communities even closing their libraries, in San Luis Obispo County, we're building two new libraries. So quite proud of that effort. And we can only do it with the support of our friends' organizations. They foot half the bill for the capital improvement. And I wanted to speak to item number 5. Supervisor Teixeira covered that one. I spend a lot of my recreational time at Santa Margarita Lake, and I want to thank Sean and Curtis and the rest of the planning staff for their efforts in securing grants for projects there. And also, item number 13 is a thank you to our Public Works staff. Several years ago, Public Works applied for a United States Department of Agricultural grant and loan program to upgrade the water system in Santa Margarita. They put in a new water storage tank, upgraded the delivery system, and added new fire hydrants to improve the water delivery system and the storage in Santa Margarita. And this particular item, they didn't spend $250,000 of the grant, and so and now we go to general public comment on items that are not on the agenda. And I have several. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know how it got off, but.
Your 3 minutes are up.
Wait, don't I get more than 3? I have a lot of requests to speak on general public comment. this morning and actually almost afternoon. We only typically budget about 15 minutes for this, and I have at least 20 requests to speak, so I'm going to limit public comment to 2 minutes on items not on the agenda, and we will begin with Arlene Versaw, followed by Elizabeth Kavanaugh. Oh, good.
Arlene left, but Elizabeth.
Did Arlene leave?
Yes, she did.
Okay, and we may have some others who have left. And did you bring a flyer with you?
I did.
Oh, very good.
And we've got it on the overhead here.
I brought one, too.
Oh, good.
Ms. Kavanaugh, would you?
Elizabeth Kavanaugh, County Parks. I'm just here to let you know about an upcoming opportunity for public input on the Salinas River Trail planning effort. We're working with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, the City of Paso Robles, and the City of Tascadero to master plan the trail that connects Santa Margarita to San Miguel. That will be on Monday the 10th at 6 p.m., and it's at the Templeton Community Center, which is at 691 South Main Street. And there'll be other opportunities for the public to come on in, but this is where we'll get a chance to hear what you're doing in the trail corridor and what you would like to see it turn into. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Kavanaugh. And I want to mention, since I didn't say your name with the Santa Margarita effort, Santa Margarita Lake, Ms. Kavanaugh is a planner in our Parks Division. So look forward to seeing her at the Trails meeting on Monday the 10th in Templeton. Rick London, followed by Tom Dawson. Is Tom here? Mr. London.
Good morning. It's still morning. I'd like to take that last 15 seconds there.
Oh, that's right. You have a two-minute video, don't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to let you go ahead and play
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you. Rick London, CEO of United Way of San Luis Obispo County. Good morning. I'm glad I can just say that under the wire. Celebrating our 125th anniversary, there are now 1,800 local United Ways in 41 countries endeavoring to empower youth to achieve their potential, empowering families to achieve financial stability, and empowering everyone to achieve good health. Education, income, and health, the building blocks to a good quality of life. At the heart of our Live United efforts, encouraging more prevention and self-responsibility. Our work depends on individual giving and workplace programs like our annual San Luis Obispo County Employees Workplace Giving Program, which is in process right now. We invite you to visit our table outside and unitedwayslo.org to learn more. What we raise in San Luis Obispo County stays in San Luis Obispo County, and we're especially grateful for the ongoing support of San Luis Obispo County employees. So we thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. London. Are we ready to go with the video?
This is celebrating our 125th anniversary.
And you fly United, right? Is that how that works?
Live United.
Fly United. Oh, Live United.
That's an airline.
Oh, I see. It's Live United.
You, Rick?
125 years ago. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. London, and we very much appreciate the work that United Way does for the community. What you raise here stays here. So
thank you.
That's good. Okay, Tom Dawson, followed by Lindy Owen.
My name's Tom Dawson. If you think Ag Cluster is taking a property rights, which it is, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait until the National Marine Fisheries Plan is let out of the bag for us citizens to make public comment on. All the backroom dealing is going on right now on just how Ikley, that is that's that well-funded UN Agenda 21 environmental extremist group that is co-opting the ears of the politicians, and the extremist arm of the Board of Supervisors want the outcome to be. So we, the citizens, are not hearing much by design. So a fish plan doesn't sound so bad until you hear the way that the feds and Ikley handled Siskiyou County. In that county, the National Marine Fisheries, under the claim of wanting to restore fish to their historical numbers, is blowing up dams, taking people's livelihoods away, and trampling on property rights, making that county like a third world country. The federal government and Ikley has caused 1,200 farmers and ranchers to all go out of business with Marxist methods. They are destroying 100-year-old reservoirs that provide city, county, and residential water. Farm irrigation, flood control, water quality, recreational tourism, and a fish hatchery that provides many times more young fish than were ever in the rivers historically. The dams removal will destroy fish habitat for 70 or 80 years by silt pollution. Did I mention that those dams were paid for by us? Oh, yeah. These dams are also hydroelectric clean energy producers. This is the kind of madness that comes from accepting an atheistic Marxist mindset. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dawson. Lindy Owen, followed by Julie Tacker.
Good afternoon, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I'm very sorry that you limited our time to 2 minutes and you also rearranged the schedule when you had plenty of time to do that last week. Number one, KCBX. It's very important that KCBX consider continuing the coverage of the Board of Supervisors meetings every Tuesday. It's once a week, and I'm putting it out publicly. If you do watch or listen to these, please contact KCBX because December they're considering taking it off the air. I would like to show pictures now of the Tri-W project that the sewer supposedly is restoring and turning into a basin. This is the fourth event of breaking through and causing erosion onto neighboring property. The county cannot seem to get it right, and I have offered to go up myself and show them how you make a berm to hold water. Anyway, I want you to be alerted. This is causing erosion. Stormwater events are not allowed to do this, and there was no planning whatsoever. The mud is constant. It's flooding the area down below and causing, as you can see on the way to the rock there, there's now no place for that water to go except into the bay. Shame on the county. And then I've been waiting for a statement from Supervisor Texera on the Bruce Gibson Zippergate event. There are a number of questions that we have concerns over, and it's generally the cost. I respect Mrs. Espiro very much, and I think number one question would be, if the county was cleared of liability, could Sherry remain as assistant to Supervisor Gibson? I think that makes more sense. She's done a good job. Number two, can Sherry Espiro sue the county for sexual harassment or any aspect relating to the affair? Number three, can county employees sue because Sherry Espiro is reabsorbed at a higher salary? Number four, can Gibson be held financially responsible for an investigation?
Thank you, Ms. Owen, and I appreciate you raising the issue about KCBX. They have claimed that they are going to discontinue broadcasting with the new year, and I've heard from many constituents that they're very concerned about that, and I, too, encourage people to contact KCBX and let them know that they don't do it for free. We have a contract with them, and we do pay them. Ms. Tacker, followed by Ben DeFada.
Good afternoon. I am Julie Tacker. I am from District 2. Have you ever been put in the position to have to evaluate your supervisor's performance? It's the most awkward and uncomfortable and possibly a conflict when owns private sector businesses. Ms. Espiro could work at the Orange Grove, at the vacation rental, or maybe wash his airplane. The public does not need to pay for Ms. Espiro's job. I am concerned about the cost in the loss of morale in the clerk's office with the inequity of Ms. Espiro's salary in equal work. I also understand that the county is interviewing replacements and that Mr. Gibson is hands off on his on her replacement for his office.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Grow up. We'll see. Ben DeFada, followed by Andrea Seastrand.
Well, now that you gave me 2 minutes, a lot of this is going not be in order. Good morning, Chairman Patterson, Board, Sheriff, and Public. Ben DeFada here from Los Osos again. 2 weeks ago, I may mention that once a politician gets into office, they don't seem to want to leave, as in the case of Supervisor Gibson's seat, where he should resign post haste. How can county council administrator fire him when they appointed him? I guess we will have to see him kicking and screaming like a 5-year-old kid to step down from his seat. He should do the honorable thing and leave. He should turn in his parking pass, clean out his desk, and don't let the door kick him on the way out. He has caused pain and financial disaster to thousands in Los Osos and county. Mr. Gibson has cost those in the prohibition zone millions of dollars in 5 years of delays with their several attempts of trying to fit a square peg in a round hole with his flawed, stinking gravity collection project. Chairman Patterson, you and your board knew that our only source of drinking water was being polluted by saltwater intrusion, and Los Osos has been declared those that reside in the zone are classified as an economically distressed zone, yet none of you three or four opposed it. He went on so far as spraying good water in the air never to be seen again. It definitely appears that Gibson and your board's plan then and still is to help Los Osos to run out of water, thus causing Los Osos to hook up to the new water pipe from Lake Nacimiento at another cost of $40 million. He and you other four should have told PG&E to finish up the remainder of their lease and stop using atomic bomb fuel or start using a substitute fuel or close it. Nuclear plant down. Anybody with that kind of thinking has to be fired here and now. He is a big liability to this county, big time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeFada. Andrea Seastrand, followed by Dr. C. Height.
Andrea Seastrand. Supervisor Bruce Gibson, resign now. I went to your website and read your campaign pledge, and I quote, "I'll tell the truth always. I'll be fair. Run an honest campaign, and demand integrity from everyone involved in it. I'll respect my opponents and people I disagree with. I'll honor and consider differing opinions. I'll work as hard as I can to earn your vote." I ask you again, Supervisor.
Ms. Seastrand, please direct your comments to the chair, please.
To resign now. And to the other supervisors, Supervisor Hill, Supervisor Meekham, Supervisor Patterson, Supervisor Teixeira, what are you going to do about this if Supervisor Bruce Gibson fails to resign? There are many eyes watching you. If you've had teenagers, you know what I mean. 2,600 employees are asking for your leadership. Where do you stand? Where is your moral compass in all of this? So I ask you, and the taxpayers I know of this county ask you, to lead us, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seastrand. Dr. C. Height, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos World Community Workshop.
My hard work is at KSBY, my largest collection of abstract art titled Restatement. Among the matchstick carbon and onion skin dyes, you won't see the herniated disc from grinding the stone lithograph, nor the tons of clay I have moved in my lifetime represented in the China clay frescoes. You won't see that I met the challenge to my independence by pushing my mobility scooter loaded with the artwork to KSBY to protect the electronics from the broadcast array. And soon anyone with the radio will not hear my good works. We just faced the first horrendous steps that will affect this county, the land, the ocean, the air, for tens of thousands of years, the relicensing of Diablo Nuclear Power Plant. This is not the time for silence. This is the time for every environmental justice, fighting for all the counties homeless, and that will continue in silence.
Thank you, Dr. Height.
I want my 3 minutes.
Gwen Taylor, followed by David Leader. Ms. Taylor.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'm a resident of Los Osos and reside in the Prohibition Zone. As an observer of supervisors' meetings for more than 40 years, it appears this board is losing respect, credibility, and trust. Each supervisor is supposed to address the problems of their district. Supervisor Gibson, as District 2 supervisor, has abrogated that responsibility and turned over to Public Works the sewer development and many associated problems with the sewer, and this is others also. As the supervisor for Los Osos, the district of the most expensive sewer project in the county, has he had any oversight of his public works team? Has he checked the requirements of the permits issued for the development of the sewage project? The USDA, the State Revolving Fund, or even the coastal permits? The siting of the treatment plant in a floodplain, the changes in pump station locations, the Walker site as a staging area, the required copies of the signed coastal development plans with all information in advance with the final project plan on construction site staging areas. The actions or lack of oversight by Supervisor Gibson has placed this board in a compromising position. The people of Los Osos are paying dearly for a sewer project that has placed many in a financial hole, not knowing which way to turn and wondering when the next financial cost will be added to their already unmanageable sewer cost and budget. If you can even budget.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. David Leader, followed by Dane Sensor.
David Leader, Templeton, and Rio Grande.
Board of Supervisors, one of your members has for the last 6 years, not 6 days, not 6 weeks, not even six, but 6 months, has been deceiving the public and abusing his public office. How can we, the public, possibly trust him going forward? How can we, the public, believe that he will stand up and make the morally correct decisions as a supervisor? How can we, the public, respect him going forward? How can we, the public, look to him for guidance? We can't. I, as a taxpayer, pay his salary. In other words, he works for me, along with the rest of you folks. Consequently, I expect more of him and of his office. I expect him to do what is right, even when no one is looking. I expect him to act professionally with his employees at all times. I expect him to act honorably at all times. He has proven otherwise. He has dishonored his family, disgraced his office. As his employer, I wish I had the power to fire him, effective immediately. But unfortunately, I don't. So I ask you, supervisors, as a taxpayer and as a citizen of this county, do everything possible to rid your board of this dishonorable man. And by the way, Mr. Patterson, clapping at the end of someone's speech is not disruptive nor is it disrespectful. It is, in fact, a display of respect. It is one of my constitutional rights, free speech. And that one, Mr. Patterson, you will never, ever take away.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Dane Sensor, followed by Eric Greening.
Dane Sensor, Grover Beach. We've all been in a position of either being an employee or employer. We are currently in a job market, an economy that favors the employer. Even though California has probably the strictest labor laws in the country, 970 pages, and I've read them all, to protect employees, however, there's still an extraordinary amount of violations by employers. From now, non-payment of wages, meals breaks, hostile environments, employers bullying, and, of course, sexual harassment. Today, I want to bring awareness to the Board of Supervisors and the public what I believe is a serious problem in this county and beyond. I believe employer Bill Wilcoff of Sky River RV has been one of these county's biggest violators in California labor codes. I've counted over 26. I don't wish any harm against any company who wants to make a profit. However, I do when they do it at how people should be treated as employees. He is honorable and a very, very good man that could be an example for this county to be.
Thank you, Mr. Sensor. Eric Greening, followed by Quintana Ambrose. Are you here, Quintana? You see it. Okay. Mr. Greening.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I know a lot of us are very relieved that right now, today, there are not 250 decibel blasts killing sea life, chasing fishermen, swimmers, and everyone else, surfers, out of the water. We're very relieved that is not going on. However, our work is not done. There was the so-called low-energy seismic surveying that happened off our shores in recent months without any public process leading to it. And I think it is well past time for this board to hold a study session to take public testimony on the impacts of this so-called low-energy seismic survey, which may not have been so low after all. It certainly was not low in its effects on the sea life. I would urge this board to prepare then to correspond with and engage with the State Lands Commission to question what process, if any, led to this destruction of sea life, this harassment of sea life, this change from which sea life has yet to recover. And I would go on and will go on asking that the creatures of this county who pay very heavy taxes in the form of habitat loss have just a tiny fraction of 1% of this county's staff answerable to them, a marine biologist, a freshwater ecologist, a terrestrial wildlife biologist, and a terrestrial botanist. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Quintana Ambrose, followed by, excuse me, Quintana, one moment. I don't see Jerry Walsh or Richard Margetson. Did they? Are they here? Are they left? Okay, thank you. Let's see. How about Rochelle Todi? Are you still here?
She left.
She left too? Okay. Bill Pelfrey, you're here. So, Ms. Ambrose.
Okay, Quintana Ambrose. Last Thursday, I attended the North County Greenhouse Gas Planning Session in Templeton. It wasn't my first meeting. As per usual, the facilitators groomed the audience through manipulation and control tactics for their desired outcome, meaning our voices didn't matter one iota. I noticed some of the same people facilitating the meeting that were at Cuesta College a few months back, spouting the same toolbox as if it hadn't been heard before. I even recognize some of the same shills who shouted down those who opposed this Marxist agenda. When one member of the audience produced documentation claiming we are already at 1992 levels, mind you, this was also offered at Cuesta College a few months back, the same presenter replied he would have to check out the information himself. My question regarding this is, how long does it take this presenter to get up to speed with the latest scientific news, such as greenhouse gases haven't increased in 16 years? Was he insulting the audience or showing how inept he is at his job as a consultant? That strategy might work with a five-year-old, but it doesn't work with people who know when they are being lied to. Not only are we funding our own demise, once again, we citizens are being maneuvered into chasing our own tails.
Thank you, Ms. Ambrose. Bill Pelfrey, followed by Sandra Tandler. Mr. Pelfrey.
There's an old thing that Alexander the Great used to do with his generals when he left them behind to run communities. Said he challenged each of them. He said, a character of a man is shown by what he does with power. When he came back through, if those that people had betrayed that power, he put them to work hauling luggage at the back of the trains, figuring they owed for their sins. In this case, we have a man who's saying it's an affair of the heart. Last time I heard that was Edward VIII from Wallace Simpson. He stepped down from kingdom in England because of the derisions it would cause in his parliament, in the country. But he did step down because he was in love, and they did get married. And they were even given their own title, which no longer exists, from what I understand. The egregious thing here now that I'm hearing is that the person involved...
as his former aide. If so, this seems excessive, and I wonder if it's legal. This may be an affair of the heart for Mr. Gibson, but it is an affair of the pocketbook for the taxpayers in District 2.
Thank you, Ms. Tandler. Mrs. Elsa Dawson, followed by Laura Mordaunt.
Thank you, Supervisors. I'm Mrs. Elsa Dawson. Many speakers have spoken to this moral crime that has been committed, this breach of morality and ethics by Supervisor Gibson, seems to us to be much more than just a matter of a heart. It makes the county very susceptible to lawsuits from untold people. One of the gentlemen already represented that. I won't go into details. I do think about the spurned wife. What happened to her heart? And will she find a way to sue the county? I just think that there are many, many reasons for us to reevaluate here. The board has been made aware by other speakers of the code of ethics that you all wrote up and agreed to, and there are good reasons for those, to keep down corruption and favoritism, but this code has obviously been violated, not just momentarily, but for quite a while. This behavior sets an example for not only the employees, but as one of the speakers pointed out, for our children. Is this the example we want? Is this matter of the heart going to become the new excuse that people give for misbehavior? I would just encourage you, Board of Supervisors, to review and protect our county by selecting an evaluation committee that is not in the local hands or control of the present group, and bring in a firm that specializes in ethical violation. This way we could assure that we would have a realistic evaluation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Laura Mordaunt, followed by one moment, Ms. Mordaunt. Is Nell Langford? I don't see Nell. She's left. Okay. How about Katrina Dolinsky? Are you're still here? Okay, good. Ms. Mordaunt, followed by Katrina Dolinsky.
Well, my subject to talk about, there are so many. The fish issue was something that really has affected me. I went to one of the meetings in Santa Maria many months ago about the Twitchell Dam is really the ultimate goal, is to have that removed so that the fish can come up and do things where they never have done anything before. That is something, and when you talk about getting ahead of the train, we try very hard to do that as individuals, and it is almost impossible. You can spread yourself thin over many different topics, looking at this website, that website, and another, and because our media really does not talk about things that affect us and our freedoms, that seems to be off topic for our news media. So it's very difficult. But what I wanted to talk about is, many people have already covered most of it, is the concerns for the county. The county is at risk with behavior. And that the question I have, because of the responses of the board, the lack of response from the board, as far as what I have heard, is it makes me question what your views are also. I know some of you, and I hate to go in that direction, but with silence, that allows people other than those that know you as to what your position is. Is this something you're concerned about in your own personal life? Is that why it's never addressed to the public in a satisfactory way? There are impacts. There could be many lawsuits coming at us, and we as citizens are going to have to pay for that. So I think that other companies, I used to work for Lockheed Martin, they just had an incident of this sort, and that person was removed from their position, and they were at the CEO level.
Thank you, Ms. Mordaunt. Katrina Dolinsky, followed by, it looks like Lupe. Does that resonate with anyone? It's just a single name. Is there anyone here by the name of Lupe? No? Okay, one moment, please, Ms. Dolinsky. Kevin Rice, he's here, so you're on deck. Ms. Dolinsky.
Thank you, Board of Supervisors. My name is allowing time to slip by with more OHV-sponsored studies doesn't address your residents' need for an immediate cancellation of State Park's OHV month-to-month use on county's La Grande tract. But under county's control and management, Sand Highway entrance at marker Posts 4 to 5 can be moved a mile downward, southward, off La Grande tract, allowing limited OHV access to their landlocked recreational area as a temporary measure and a moratorium. More importantly, by taking this action this month, proven mitigation measures to restore this fragile ecosystem can be implemented during the rainy season just beginning. That would be a prudent task before you. Your failure to act is still a decision that doesn't protect those you represent. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Dolinsky. Kevin Rice, followed by Lori Alexev. She's here. Kevin.
Well, I won't tiptoe through the indelicacies. We have a skank on our Board of Supervisors, and I think it's incumbent upon all the board to speak up to that matter. I do not believe for a heartbeat Mr. Bakshi's statement that position was created months ago. Well, we also know that County Council and the CIO have been aware of this for some time. How else would they have gone through several thousand emails and travel documents back to 2007 to before we even know about this traipsing around up on the fourth floor, that everything's okay? We've already deemed that no improprieties have occurred. How come these two people that work for us, the public, they do not work for you, they are hired by you, but they work for us. How come they don't let us know what's going on before they deem the whole thing off the table? I've got a real problem with that. And I hope that your CAO and your county council will get that through their head. They work for us. Put our interests first, not Mr. Gibson's, not yours, the public. Mr. Patterson, I want to thank you for being the only one speaking up, for not jumbling up the agenda to scuttle the order of things, to hold people out. Dr. Langford couldn't speak her mind, which I know what she had to say today. And I think that was wrong for the board to screw the agenda up, because she was here with several of her friends. And I watched many other people leave. I'm really dissatisfied. I think Mr. Gibson should step down. I think he's a vile and despicable supervisor. The travel he did last December 9th, which got one of our head state park people fired 4 days later, 4 days after you met Mr. Laird, try to convince me that your travel didn't get that woman fired with her mom dying in the hospital 2 weeks before Christmas, behind the board's back. Please. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rush. Hang in there, everybody. We're almost done.
Was that Lupe LeMay, by chance?
I just saw Lupe there.
Is it L-Y-N-E with a little accent on it?
There was... Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Would that be you?
That's me.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Go ahead.
Bruce Gibson notified the county administrator and county council of the potential adverse publicity that might occur as a result of his self-reported relationship with his legislative aide and apparent separation from his wife. County council and the administrators were reported in the media to be reviewing documents to determine if there would be any improper or illegal actions related to the situation. There should be an independent investigation. An issue is that both of these officials are at-will employees who are appointed by the Board of Supervisors, are managed by the Board of Supervisors, receive their annual performance reviews from the Board of Supervisors, and are dependent on the Board of Supervisors for raises and benefits. The proper procedure would have been for them to hire an independent law firm from outside of the county with expertise in investigating conduct and ethical matters in the public sector. The principal assigned would conduct confidential interviews with the subject individuals, witnesses, and others who might have information or concerns. Relevant documents would be reviewed. For example, there might be employees that felt the conduct constituted workplace harassment and or subordinate legislative aid considering any legal action against the county. What if some employee on the fourth floor was aware of the situation over the years and complained but was ignored? What if other supervisors and or executives were aware of the situation and did nothing to protect the county until it became public? We could have a major lawsuit. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Lupe. Lori Alexis and Sue Shimandel. Sue, are you she's here. Okay. And that concludes my request to speak on public comment on items not on the agenda. So, Ms. Alexis.
Property rights are guaranteed. Your employee, please just keep her in your employ. You were given the privilege and trust in making a decision about this position. You have broken this trust. Protect the county from the inevitable legal entanglements and costs which will ensue by making such an exception to county policy and arbitrarily transferring her and continuing to pay her with your funds, which ultimately are funds as taxpayers. Do the right thing. Keep her or send her home. Why is it the case that when it comes to your desires and complications, you folks are exempt from the kinds of scrutiny and regulatory demands you place on us constantly? We need an independent outside investigation here, please.
Good. Thank you, Ms. Alexiv. And my last request to speak on general public comment is Sue Shimandel.
Shimandel. Mm-hmm. Shimandel, thank you. I'm speaking to the notifications. Community events, special performances, weddings, all those things receive mostly nowadays a save the date card. They receive invitations. All these things go out weeks, months ahead of time. How can you justify spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, possibly millions, for consultants and staff, consultants who do not live in the county, but you can't spend a few hundred dollars or maybe $1,000 on sending individual notifications to the affected property owners in such a critical issue such as the ag clusters? If you're on vacation, you would possibly miss the newspaper till it's too late. The good old-fashioned way works well. Use a postcard and stamp. Use the government-provided service called the U.S. Post Office. Don't you receive bulk mail rates less for a postcard? You should use multiple types of notifications, newspaper, email, signage posting, and the U.S. mail. In Aurora Grande, we received notifications in postcard form requesting that we control weeds. That's the weed abatement program that may cause a fire. I think that something as serious as the ag clusters involving private property should have personal notification via the good old U.S. mail.
Thank you. Again, that concludes my request to speak, so I'll close it to general public comment and bring it back to the board. And Supervisor Gibson, you wanted to
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speakers have raised questions about employment issues, cost, and risk to the county, and I would ask staff to respond to those,
okay,
please.
Okay, and also I was going to make that same request. If you could also speak to the process that you followed. Okay, we got it. Sorry. The process that you followed, as well as there were concerns about the potential for lawsuits, those three items, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Rita Neal, County Council. I think I first want to make it clear for the board and for the listening public that as County Council, my duty is to the entire board. You are my client. All five of you are my client. Essentially, our office provides legal advice to the county through the Board of Supervisors. So at all times, I am required to provide you legal advice and advice that is in the best legal interests of the county. I don't provide legal advice to any of you individually. With that, when I became aware of, I was made aware of a relationship with Supervisor Gibson and his legislative assistant, my first effort was to determine whether there was any legal liability to the county, potential legal liability to the county, and whether any policies were violated, whether any county resources were misused. And I went about that by initially individually interviewing Supervisor Gibson and Ms. Sparrow. I did that on a number of occasions. I also spoke to a number of people on the fourth floor. I then had the computers of Mrs. Sparrow and Supervisor Gibson imaged, if you will, and I reviewed thousands of emails between the two of them. I can tell you the majority of those emails were emails that were CC'd between the two of them on the day-to-day business that this board engages in. I was able to look through those emails relatively quickly because they were on my computer and I could click through them. Did it take some time? Yes, it took some time, but it wasn't excessive, if you will. I also reviewed all travel claims of Supervisor Gibson's as well as Mrs. Sparrow's from 2007 to the present. After that review, I obviously had discussions with Mr. Buckshy. I had discussions with our HR director because we were not only dealing with an elected official, we were dealing with an employee of the county. One thing that is important to recognize is that legislative knows claims and complaints. In this situation, we did not have an outside claim or complaint, and we have not up until I'm speaking to you right now. So it's generally those situations where we do bring in an outside investigator. Having said all that and making those conclusions, there was then a mutual decision made that it would be in the best interest of all involved for the time being to temporarily assign Mrs. Sparrow to another department. That is standard county protocol, whether you are an unclassified employee or classified employee, depending upon a multitude of circumstances, whether they are personal reasons, whether they are disability reasons, whether there are problems within a particular department and an employee. So the decision was made to temporarily reassign her until we could further reevaluate the situation. In the event that Mrs. Sparrow seeks to become a classified employee, she will have to compete for a civil service job just like any other person would within the county. So she would have to go through the process, an application process, the screening process. At this point in time, I can just tell you that assignment is temporary within the clerk's office, and she is engaging in activities and job duties which are somewhat unique for the clerk's office, that they need some assistance. There's a need at this point in time to create some specific and complicated administrative records. Mrs. Sparrow once worked in the clerk's office and has expertise in doing that, so that seemed the appropriate location for her to be assigned at this time. Moving forward, I wanted to also make clear that the legislative assistant position in Supervisor Gibson's office has not been filled. And to my knowledge, there is no interviewing going on. In the event, as time moves forward, that he desires to make a change to that position, fill it, then that will be a discussion that will be had between Supervisor Gibson, the CAO's office, and Human Resources, because, again, legislative assistant position is a position within the budget. It is paid for by the county through the Board of Supervisors' budget, but if you look in the budget book, it is what's on what's called our PAL, our position allocation list. Did I answer all those questions?
Yes, I think you did cover them. The only piece maybe that was missing was the actual financial liability to the county, and it just continues as it's budgeted currently, correct?
That's correct. For that position, it's already budgeted within the approved budget for 2012-2013.
Okay, and there was some concerns about paying double, but that hasn't occurred.
No, that has not occurred. Mrs. Sparrow's salary is still being paid from the Board of Supervisors budget, and it's also, I think, important to understand that she has not replaced anybody's position. She has not taken anybody's job. It is just a temporary reassignment.
Very good. Thank you. And as you pointed out, Supervisor Gibson is currently working without a legislative assistant.
That's right.
That position is vacant. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Let me ask my colleagues. Typically, we adjourn to closed session and then reconvene at 1:30. There's no point coming back at 1:30 to go to closed session. Would you like to go directly to closed session and then just come down after we conclude closed session? I can't give a specific time yet, but that's what we'll do. I'll open it to the public on items on closed session. I have no request to speak on closed session, so we will adjourn to closed session and return to the board chambers upon completing closed.